This is Michael Danforth with Danforth Ministries and Mountaintop International. I want to welcome you to a new series of podcasts titled Prophetic Blasts from Future Past. Some time ago, we lost a lot of great prophetic words in our archives, which dated as far back as 2001. Many of these prophetic words seem pretty far off the charts of belief until they actually started coming to pass. Over time, it appeared as though this wild insight and foresight of the future was destined to become a permanent part of my life. I've always felt that accountability and credibility is of the utmost importance in our walk with God. Therefore, I've created this series of podcasts which will feature those who have personally witnessed or experienced these outlandish prophecies firsthand. As a result, it is my hope that you will be inspired to reach your highest potential as a son or daughter of God, thus becoming a co-creator with His glorious intent for the world and beyond. Also, let me remind you to check out my latest book on how to forget unwanted memories. In addition, I have also co-written a workbook on this same subject with my wife Tamara and sister-in-law Cheryl Jones. I've also written several other books and articles which can be purchased and read on our website at mticenter.com. And let me encourage you to subscribe to my podcast channel as well as our monthly newsletter, which will keep you informed of the latest future foresights and insights of heaven on earth. And you can find me on Facebook at Danforth Ministries, along with, well over 200 plus videos I have posted on YouTube. Now, my next guest is Josh Crofton. Josh has been a part of my life since the early 90s. At the beginning of our journey, we have ministered on the streets, local churches, and other countries in the world. So, needless to say, Josh has witnessed some crazy prophetic fulfillments over the years. So, without any more delay, let's jump right into another prophetic blast from the future past. Hey everyone, here we are. This is Michael Danforth again with Danforth Ministries, Mountaintop International. And we are doing a new series, Prophetic Blasts from Future Past. So I have people that I have been in relationship with for quite a number of years. And together we have witnessed God just do extraordinary things, just prophetically speaking out and watching those things unfold. And it's just sometimes it's some of those things that you just really don't know it or believe it until it actually happens. And voila, there you are. So today, my special guest is Josh Crofton. Hey, Josh.
What's up, Michael? How you doing?
good. Now, you and I, man, we go back like in the 80s, right? I mean, mid-80s or like somewhere in there.
Actually, it was January of 1997.
Oh, my gosh. Really? It seems like it was in the 80s. Okay, so prior to that, so we did street stuff together, you know, like just some stuff periodically, like in that arena. And then
yes,
one thing led, you were actually with me through a lot of beginnings when we started the prayer thing, the 24-hour prayer thing, you know, for a while on Yakima Avenue. And wow, we've been to Europe together, to Ireland, to
South Korea.
Yeah. So Josh, you know me quite well.
I know you very well, Michael. And from the time I met you, I was like, wow, this guy is a trip.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, definitely take a trip and never leave the farm. I'm not ready. So, yeah, so we're going to explore some things that have happened, and that we call it prophetic blast from future past, just looking back at some things that have been declared. And Josh, for a number of years, has just prophetically stepped up to the plate, has declared many things, prophetic things, just concerning the intent and desire of God. So we really plowed together through some things with some other amazing people and really just carving out what we felt would be the future intent of God for humanity. And so here we are. We're now reflecting back on the past and basically bringing some credence, some weightiness to some things that were said. Just so a lot of people, you know, they're like, yeah, right. You know, anybody can make that up or whatever. So here we are on this next journey. So what's something that comes to mind, Josh, as well, we dive into this?
You know, Michael, I think just even in your little intro there, I was thinking about how people think about the end. You've brought this up before, how so many people, how you see the future can often dictate how you hear God.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I think that's a good way to start this tonight, because, you know, if you were raised in a belief system where, you know, God's angry, or God, you know, the world's going to go to hell in a handbasket, and, you know, we're all barely going to make it out of here, right, then that affects the way you see the future.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the cool things that I know I was taught by you is just God is into glory. God is into, you know, the future being glorious, the future being something that is full of kingdom revelation and victory, not defeat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, the words that I've heard over the over two decades now of knowing you have always been filled with hope. They've been filled with a sense of victory in them for God's people. And I think that's very important to establish, simply because there's so many words out there, or so many different people that prophetically speak things, but there's no life in it. It's actually filled with death, and it's filled with, you know, an intent that isn't the Father's heart.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to say that first of all.
Yeah.
But, and you know,
I
we
think
were talking before the broadcast about, the great exposure.
Right.
And,
right.
That's for those of you that are listening out there, you're thinking, well, what is the great exposure? Well, Michael, you prophesied back in 2011 or 2012, it was in that time period, and you didn't just speak about this once or twice. It was something continual that the Lord was showing you about a time coming in our government where there would just be an extreme exposure of all of the lies, the deceit, the things that were hidden in darkness, that God would bring them to light, but not for the purpose of tearing our nation apart or tearing people down, but for bringing restoration into this nation. And so I thought that was amazing when you spoke about that, because it was like, there's no way that's going to happen. There's no way God's going to restore this nation. And here we are, X amount of years later, and all of this stuff has been going on where, you know, we've seen exposure again and again in our government, and not just in the government, but also just, you know, we've seen it almost anything that's in the public eye. It's like the veil's been removed off of it.
Right.
And
right. Yeah.
And now we're in this place where, okay, you know, some pretty ugly stuff has been exposed, but now what's God going to do with it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we can, you know, I was just thinking about, a lot of times we realize bad stuff happens, and there have been prophetic words that have been accurate about bad stuff happen. And one of the things that I often share is that that sometimes it's easy to get caught up in to prophesying the negative actions of humanity. So in other words, we do things and then it builds up and then it produces bad things down the road. So we know that there are actions, future actions, because of choices that we make. And the result is oftentimes very dark and all this stuff. And then the other side of that is that we see humanity making those dark choices, but then we realize, wait a minute, God, we see that building up, but what is your intent? What's your desire? What's your will? What do you want to happen? And what I've discovered, that as we align ourselves with the intent of God, then we're actually able to override some things that have been set in motion because of the ill choices. And I think it's difficult for people to see that, because they just think God just wants all of those bad things to happen to punish everybody for, you know, being bad kids. So I like what the reason I'm saying this or reminding the people of this is when you just mentioned about, you know, prophetic hope. And I remember releasing some things, the difference between prophetic hope and prophetic hopelessness. And that prophetic hope is the ability to see into the intent and desire of God for his people and move into that, knowing that God's intentions for us are good and they're not evil, and he does have some amazing plans. And so we just kind of come along beside him and do that. And this whole exposure thing, yeah, it's just, I've talked to with some previous guests, and it's amazing how these things are unfolding. But I think the key, and you mentioned this, is it's really about not like killing people off, but bringing all of that into the light for the purpose of restoration.
Right.
And oftentimes people, like, you know, they want to see people punished, right? They want the, you know, like, you're going to get yours. And I just feel like that the love and nature of God is, yes, dealing with that, bringing it into the light, but for the purpose of bringing them into a potential repentance where they will begin to see clearly what they could not see before.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that scripture that just comes to mind is the one, I can't pinpoint it, but it's mercy triumphs over judgment. And, yeah, you know, we are in a time where, yes, we want to see the justice of God. Yes, we want to see God right certain wrongs and all that stuff. And I believe the Lord's going to do it, but you have to know the Father's heart. And it's not to take people that have done bad things and punish them and with no sense of restoring them.
Right, right, right.
And unfortunately, you know, there is a side of Christianity out there, and God bless everyone, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Unfortunately, there's a side of people out there that know, you know, God wants to punish them and do this and do that. And, you know, and I truly believe, as someone who's made multiple mistakes in my life, man, I would rather have the mercy of God any day of the week.
Yeah, right, right,
and he's been very merciful to me. So, you know, I really believe that knowing the Father's heart and knowing that whatever exposures are going on, whatever things are happening right now, it's an opportunity to restore not only people, but to restore just the integrity of this nation and what God's intent is for it.
Yeah, yeah. Prior to doing this, we were talking some, and you were bringing up just different places, countries we went into, and just all crazy stuff, but you mentioned about Ireland.
Yeah.
So share a little bit about what you remember, some of the things that had taken place when we were in Ireland. And that was... What year was that? I can't remember.
So I believe it was November of 2011 is when we were in Ireland together.
Okay, so that was a few years back. Yeah.
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 Yeah, so that particular trip, when we were there, there was just a real intensity going on.
Yeah.
I remember during the meetings we were a part of there, it was just an electricity in the atmosphere and just a hunger in so many people there. But you, like, I don't know, it was crazy. You got up and just were moving in a strong prophetic atmosphere, and it just shifted everything. You were prophesying about weather changing. You were prophesying about, storms that were coming in, or storms that were going to happen that would be like a prophetic sign. You prophesied about gold being found or something like
that. And that they would celebrate gold.
Ireland becoming an exporter, not just an importer anymore.
Yeah.
I think you prophesied about oil also. It was quite interesting.
Yeah, right. And it was, you know what, that's so still vivid in me, because there was something intense going on. Like, when I left that building, I was like in a daze. Like, I had just been transferred into another time. And I remember later we were talking about it, and then I was like, wow, I just, that was crazy, because I remember the waves, and they were huge, and it was like I was walking on them. As I was speaking, I was just seeing these enormous things. And I remember, like, hearing the celebration, and because that was in Bray, Ireland, that the people were celebrating. And I was talking about how they were celebrating gold and all this stuff. And it was just so intense. So later on, the outcome, what is some of the outcome you remember of that?
Well, so... you just sparked something with what you said about the gold. I don't know if you remember this, but the outcome was an Olympic athlete.
Oh, a girl.
From Bray, little town south of Dublin we were in, won the gold.
Right.
In the Olympics. It was like a matter of, I don't know, was it months later or a year later?
Yeah, it was the Winter Olympics, right.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
So that happened.
And they did a parade.
From that little town we were in, Bray, Ireland. After we got on the airplane and got back to the States, these storms came in. Just massive storms came in off the Irish coast, out in the Irish Sea. And I guess there was all kinds of craziness that happened there.
Yeah, and it wasn't real destructive, but the waves were historic.
Yes.
They were huge. And, oh, my gosh, when I heard that, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yes. And then, I can't pinpoint a day or time, but there was something that came out in the national media about Ireland's economy right after that as well.
Yeah, they had discovered gold, too, like in their mountainous areas, or there was something that happened concerning that. Yeah, and then their import and export.
But the craziest thing about all of that was just the weight of it. For those of you listening, if you've ever been into an atmosphere that just it feels supercharged with just a prophetic presence of the Lord, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most prophetic atmospheres I had ever been in. It was like the hair on the back of your neck just stood up.
Right.
And it wasn't just on you, Michael,
right.
As you were prophesying. It was like everyone came underneath this realm of prophetic just anointing that was intense. So that's what stood out the most to me. It almost like gripped you with just a sense of like godly fear was there.
And you know what, now that you're saying this too, I think that particular gathering was instigated something in my spirit about co-creating with God, because I walked away from that meeting and realized just in a very real way that we weren't there to just predict an outcome, but we were actually creating motion. We were co-creating with God, and it was seeing his intent and desire. And it felt as though the waves, you know, that like the ocean was responding to a governmental shift that was moving over that land. Because I'm remembering that as we're talking about this, how all of this intensity, the import-export, and at the time, I think they were importing so many things and had very little export, and they started exporting natural gas because they ended up discovering, you know, natural gas or something, and it became a big export, I should say, that they started, exporting it out. But the feeling was we were in that moment where we were co-creating with God the future intent for Ireland, and there were so many other things, and that's what rocked my boat. I was like, this isn't predicting something. We're creating something. And I think that's the shift that's in the earth, that there's a propheticness where we rise up, and not just prophetically in declaration, but in anything, in business, you know, whatever the deal is, that we're like, no, we're co-creators with God. And so, yeah, I'll never forget that, because it started raining too. Remember, it just started pouring. I mean, we were just like, oh my gosh, did that just actually happen? So yeah, that's awesome. I love that. So what's some other things you kind of remember? And I know there's so many, but just some that highlight.
We were also, I had brought up before the broadcast about that word about America and having an early 4th of July. And it was back in, I can't remember, 2013 maybe, when Osama bin Laden got captured.
Mm.
And so for those of you listening, we were having a local gathering, and Michael began to prophesy. It was either March or April, Michael was prophesying about him seeing, you know, like fireworks going off, and you know, people gathering and celebrating our country, and the flag flying high, and just all of this different stuff. And it was just kind of odd that, you know, he was just staying in this for like 5 minutes prophesying about this. And then he, you know, started saying, you know, happy 4th of July.
Right.
And, you know, he was singing this out and speaking this out prophetically. And we were all kind of scratching our head being like, okay, this is interesting. And then it wasn't more than like a few weeks later that, Osama bin Laden, the Navy SEALs went in and killed him. They got him. And spontaneously, when that news came out, all of a sudden, just thousands of people started flooding where the White House is, and gathering outside, cheering and
holding up the flag
and flags and
shooting off these. Yeah. Oh my God.
All kinds of stuff going on spontaneously all over the country, not just at the White House, and just people celebrating that, you know, this person who was the mastermind of 9/11 was brought down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when that happened, I remember calling you and being like, oh my God, This is what you spoke. This is it.
Right, right.
And we were like, oh my gosh. And so that comes to mind. That was something that within the last few years that you had spoke, and then a few weeks later it happened.
Yeah, yeah. And it was kind of, I remember I had mixed emotions, because obviously it was just devastating. like you say, how he masterminded, you know, the whole collapse of the tower and all that stuff in New York, and just all of the lives that were lost. But there was all just almost like a sadness to it too, like, you know, rejoicing that this person was, you know, brought down and putting an end to that, but yet tragic in the sense that all that stuff had to happen, and this guy, you know, being taken, you know, just all of that. It was just, I remember the mixed emotions, because I was thinking of it from an eternal perspective, you know, now that, you know, having to face eternity and, you know, all those things that, you know, Bin Laden would have to face. And anyhow, so, but yeah, it's just, you just never know. I mean, there's some things that seem to have a real clarity on it, and other things you just never know what the intent of that will be, how, you know, the outcome. And then all of a sudden, like you just described, you see it and you go, oh, wow, that's what that is. That's what that was about. And that's what I love about God, you know. I mean, just so colorful. And, you know, in all of these, you know, fulfillments and stuff. So that's, And we were talking about, too, recalling some things earlier, but one of the things we brought up, as, which was difficult at the time, we were in Leavenworth, and I was prophetically, you know, saying, let the church die, let the church die. and we were kind of in a traditional setting, and prophetically, I would have a tendency to get, you know, pretty emotionally caught up in the moment. But I remember people looking at us like, you know, deer in the headlights, like, what is going on? But I really felt a shift. Like, you know, we figured that out later. Like, it wasn't like, no, kill off the church. It was like, you know, the old is dying and the new church is being born. Yeah. And it was like that seed, you know, having to die in order for this new thing to rise up. And so, again, just seeing different shifts take place as, you know, as a result of that. So,
And, you know, to add to that, Michael, you know, it's crazy. I haven't looked at the statistics, and I'm sure someone could Google them. But I think more people have walked away in the last 5-10 years from the traditional church, I guess you could call it, than ever before.
Right.
It's not because they don't love God. It's not because they don't have a deep desire to know Christ or to, you know, walk out their purpose, their destiny, anything like that. It's just they want more. And the current church, just to kind of back up that word that you had spoke back then, and I remember, you know, when you said that, we were in a very traditional church setting type place, and, you know, I know there were mixed emotions with people, but, you know, when you said that, it's so true that God has been, like, dethroning the church, so to speak, or dismantling it and removing the things that hinder people, actually.
And
there's a lot of amazing church leadership out there that is all for, you know, moving forward and, you know, following after wherever the Spirit's going. But then there's this other side that they actually want to keep the people immature.
They
want to be in charge and kind of lord over people because it makes good ministry.
It's all about control.
It makes them feel needed or wanted or whatever. And I'm not bashing or dissing church. So if you're hearing this, please don't hear it that way.
Yeah.
You know, God, Jesus loves the church. I love the church. But I think God is raising up people right now that are, they're just hungry for God, and they just want to be free to express that whatever way God wants it expressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, without all of the tradition or without all of the limitations that can be there.
Yeah. Eventually there has to be the evidence of spiritual maturity to where we're moving, living, expressing, you know, walking in a realm of God's love in a way that we had not before, you know, and just exercising that authority of sonship at new heights. So obviously there has to be that level of maturity that just, you know, becomes very apparent. I remember, and I know you remember this, when we started out, I always had this inkling in me, like the Lord saying, look, you know, I don't want you to look at people as sheep anymore. They're priests, right. They're kings, they're future leaders. And I remember prophetically saying that the sheep age is over. And again, yeah. We would get those looks like, what, you know, and people thinking you're almost anti, but it was like, no, it was like God was saying, treat them like leaders, treat them like overcomers, treat them like priests and kings, because, you know, it's how you approach, how you, you know, how you treat people. That's really the persona that, yeah. you know, that we take on. And so it was very impactful to me earlier on. And I believe that we're seeing more and more of that. You know, as we're speaking, I was just thinking about some outrageous things that occurred. And you'll remember this, that when they had the oil spills, like in the ocean, some very big ones, I can't remember the actual year it was, but it was a number of years back. And some big, you know, oil spills, and it was all about, oh my gosh, you know, trying to clean up and everything. And all of a sudden, I remember prophetically speaking about creation would assist in, like, it would be the beginning of watching creation beginning to assist humanity in dealing with, you know, the things that go wrong. And
yes.
And bringing that up. And remember, there was a big storm that came, and it took all of that oil down to the bottom.
Yes, I remember that.
That was crazy. And I'll never forget it, because I felt like the Lord was saying, this is the future. This is a Narnia moment, you know, where, you know, the trees and all of creation comes and helps, you know, overcome the enemy and intervene. And anyhow, that was a while back, but remember, just
I think ahead. That was that the BP oil?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That oil well, I think,
right.
That they tried to cap off, and it ended up like blowing or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, and just yeah, hundreds and thousands of gallons.
Yes.
Yeah,
and they thought it was going to be like an environmental nightmare.
Right,
and
right.
It literally, yeah, there was a little cleanup that needed to be done, but
right.
it wasn't even close to the degree that they thought it was going
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And not minimizing, obviously, having oil even at the bottom of the ocean isn't good. But the point is that it's like it swallowed it up. The ocean
yeah.
literally swallowed it up and took it down. And again, to me, that was another indicator of functioning as a co-creator with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, moving in those realms. I remember, and I think we talked about this on a previous podcast, but I remember when, you know, we didn't have snow and all this stuff, and I had an encounter with the snow room, you know, that God spoke to Job about, and then we had our meeting, and we were all like, let's go in the storehouse, and we were just prophetically speaking and blowing into these storehouses by faith and just calling out the snow, and literally 2 days later, it was in the month of February, we got a downpour of snow, all of the snow and more in 1 month, kind of like what happened this time around.
Yeah.
One yep. in that month than we did the whole season.
I remember that. And then back in, oh, it must have been 2005, I believe it was, we were having like record drought in the Yakima area. And it was bad. I mean, the farmers were complaining about not having enough water, and, you know, it hadn't rained forever. I think the snowpack had been bad the prior year. And you prophesied that there'll no more drought, basically, that there would never be drought again.
Yes, yeah.
And in our area. And I don't think since we've never seen it.
No, we've come to the border of, like, you know, it looked kind of bleak, and all of a sudden, you know, it, you know, rain came. And so, again, that's government, right? Like, think about all of those years, because prior to that, in our area, we were experiencing drought all the time. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like an ongoing deal. And after that prophetic encounter, I think God, not knowing it, was setting us up in the sense of bringing us into this understanding of how powerful our words are. And I'm thinking of Jesus, where he says, you know, the words I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. Yeah. And that we come into this place, and I say prophetically, actually, we're growing out of a prophetic mentality, and not that it's not great, needed, or wonderful, but we're going from just that level of gifting into the power of what it means to be sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
So we call upon things that are not. We realize that if the words that Jesus speaks are spirit and they are life, and he's in us and we are in him, that when we speak those words, they have spirit and they have life and the ability to literally cause motion or transformation just in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I think that's the awakening. There's so much talk about this awakening. We're waking up into the revelation of what it means to be sons and daughters of God, and occupying heaven and earth simultaneously, and just seeing all of these things unfold. So to me, that's exciting. I mean, it just trying to work your way out of a job, I don't want to be, I'll function as a prophet, but I want to live as a son, you know, where the lid's taken off and there's no end, you know, to what we cannot do. And so I get very, very excited about that.
Yeah. When you breathe your last and enter into your eternal reward, I don't think the Lord will say, well, prophet,
right. Yeah.
I think he's going to be well done, son.
Right. So. Yeah. 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 So in this journey, then, Josh, like, again, we've, like, for years, you have witnessed so many things. We haven't even touched a corner of it. And I'll have you on again, and we'll recap on some other things far away and even more recent that has been going on. But just in your journey over all these years, how do you feel, you know, what do you think the difference that it's really made, like, in how you see things, how you see the future, maybe some things personally in your life, decision-making, all of that? How do you feel that this is has shifted you or affected you?
Well, you know, Michael, from the moment we met, and it was just a divine appointment when we met, and I just knew in my heart, I'm supposed to connect with you. And I didn't know prophetic from a hole in the ground at that point. I was 21 years old and newly saved, and everything was brand new to me. And so the impact of prayer, the impact of just learning how to hear God's voice and to be a risk taker, that has changed my life forever, simply because, you know, people want to play it safe a lot of times. And when I met you and Lori, you were the farthest thing from playing it safe I'd ever seen in my life.
Right.
And so that definitely rubbed off on me, because I would rather take a risk and miss it than not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
I would rather be the guy that puts all my chips on the table at what I believe and what I feel like God's telling me than play it safe and not do that. That's just in my DNA. And so just getting to know you, and, you know, you're the one, Michael, who, you know, taught me, you know, how to tune in to God's voice, taught me how to, you know, not look at things based on the outward appearance, but, you know, look into the heart of a matter, you know, anyone can walk outside and say it's going to rain today or it's going to be a sunny day. But can you see beyond that in the spirit,
so
to speak, and, you know, tap into what is God saying, though?
Yeah.
And to look at life through that lens. So that has deeply impacted my life. And, you know, even in my worst seasons or my worst times in life where, you know, it just seemed like the sky was falling, I always knew in my heart, God is good. And, you know, the Father loves me. And, you know, this is but a moment in life, no matter what was going on. And I'm going to get through this. I'm going to overcome.
So,
seeing you, you know, and I've seen you, Michael, go through trials. I've seen you go through all kinds of things over the years, whether it was health related, you know, whether it was, you know, Lori passing away.
Right.
Just as a prophet, you know, I know you've had some pretty big rocks thrown at you, you know, from our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ at times.
Right.
And seeing your persistence in God and none of these things ever detouring you from keeping your eyes on who He is and, continuing to speak what you believe He's saying.
Yeah.
I could go on for hours just talking about just how deeply my life has been impacted by you as a person and the Holy Spirit, working in my heart and just, you know, the partnership and friendship we've had over the years. It's just been an amazing journey for me.
And, you know, Josh, I think what really impacts me, too, is that even as we're speaking, I'm just reminded that all of what we're talking about is available to anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
And while there might be people, whether it's in areas, their gift of healing, gift of, you know, prophecy, you know, words of knowledge, you know, whatever the case is, to me, the key behind all of that is we move forward as forerunners, taking off this cap and showing it to, you know, the people of God and saying, look, anybody can do this.
Yep.
Anybody who, you know, I'm reminded of that phrase of Kim Clement where he said, you know, there's risk takers, caretakers, and undertakers. And you just got to decide which one you're going to be. You know,
and anybody
that you listen to in this age, when they're moving out, they're stepping out to where it's like, no, you got to take a risk, because without that, you play it safe and you're not able to really entertain or to experience that level of authority and power that God has really, I believe, made available to all of us. And I think that's the key to sonship. We eventually break the barrier of being prophet, being evangelist, being whatever the fivefold, that whole thing. We break that barrier and become sons and daughters of God. And I'm reminded that passage of Scripture, it says, all of these given to the body of Christ until we come up into that, you know, that Christ likeness. And to me, that's where we're headed. So we're just making a declaration right now to all of those who are listening to this, that this is available to anybody and everybody. And whether it's, you can apply it to your business, you can apply it, you know, to relationship, you can apply it to health, you can apply it to any kingdom that you are in, that God has you in. All of this is in you right now.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing, Michael, just because while you were talking, this just came to me. I remember you years ago saying your function as a prophet is simply to prime the pump. to get the water running and bring it to the surface and then back off.
I'll leave it alone.
So everyone can drink for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's so refreshing because there are so many people out there that, you know, it's all about them.
They want to control the flow.
Bro, I've known you for years, man, and I know your heart, and you have always made it where, no, you can hear God for yourself. You don't even need a prophet. You can hear right. his voice for yourself.
Right.
And you've always encouraged the people to run ahead of you, run farther yeah. than you yeah. ever could. That's always been your heart, man. And, bro, I treasure that. I don't have the words, man. I treasure it very much.
Well, awesome. I thank you, Josh, for sticking with me, because I know that there have been times when it looked like I was a madman. And there was some people who did run the other way. But yay, Josh. Yeah, we ran it out to the full extent and still doing it. And so I'm excited about the things that are before us and the next level of glory and kingdom perspective that's coming up on the earth. So it's been an exciting run.
Amen.
So, well, thank you, Josh, for coming on again. We're doing this series of podcasts, a prophetic blast from future past, and primarily to bring some credence, to bring some just a level of understanding, so you know we're not just making this up, you know, as pulling it out of the hat, so to speak, that these have been real events, prophetic things that have been spoken, and they're still unfolding today. And so we're just bringing people like Josh into your hearing so that you can hear and rejoice with us as these amazing things have barely just begun to unfold on the earth as it is in heaven. So look out, baby. You ain't seen nothing yet. So awesome. Well, thank you, Josh, for joining me. And we'll do it again.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right, man.
And tell Tamara I said hello.
Yeah, Tamara! All right. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.